And I think you can all hear me. Fantastic. It's lovely to be with you. My apologies for not being able to be there in person. Difficult. Now, as we open up the Word of God, and we continue in the Gospel of Mark, I have enjoyed this study. And once again, I just want to let you know that I have used Chinese characters in my PowerPoint so that each point is highlighted that way. And so I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. And I'm just going to share my screen with you. And but before that, I will ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. God in heaven, thank you for the blessing that it is to know you. And our prayer today is that as we open up the Word of God, that it would make an entrance into our hearts. We are found weak in sometimes our perception, our interpretation. And Lord, we ask for power from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to be able to make your name known. But Lord, most of all, that as we remember these past times, how the Bible opens up different experiences that Jesus had with people, how he met them, how he touched their lives. May what we read here and what we apply to our lives not only resonate with us, but that we will say, I need to change. I need to either receive Jesus as my Savior, follow Christ, or to be restored to a loving, living relationship with you through the Lord Jesus. We praise you. We worship you today. And thank you for the believers at Park Crest. Ask your blessing and your protection upon them. Thank you for my brothers and sisters there and for those who I don't know and maybe someone that's come in today. Lord, may these words be your words to their lives and may they uplift us. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful. I'll just share my screen with you. Let's see. And there we go. And today I just like to share with you, this is called From Outsiders to Open Ears. And it's in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 37 is the passage. We're going to try to cover both of them. And my prayer is that so for any brother or sister or any individual who's there who does speak Chinese, please let me know if this is right, the translation, because I do not speak simplified Chinese at all. But this is simplified Chinese, so my prayer is that it will make sense to you. If not, please let me know so I can correct that. What it is from outsiders to open ears. I like this title because of the fact that when we listen to God, we realize that from early ministry, when we read the Bible, I should say, from early ministry, the Lord Jesus made very clear that the people of Israel were coming in for a change. Not only was he going to sacrifice his life and bring in a new covenant for the people of Israel, a new dispensation, which way you want to verbalize it, he was making a change in also a paradigm. Maybe it's a paradigm shift of a new way of looking at humanity. Sadly, today there is an incredible amount of of ethnic tension. We know that. We see that in the Middle East today. We see that in the Ukraine. We see that in Africa. We see that even within our own communities, we see sometimes racist tropes, and we see things that are not becoming to humanity. I think one of the things that I really appreciated about Jeremy Hansen, the astronaut that went up with the Artemis II, and it's part of his shtick, it's part of his message, is that he says this orbiting the moon and this thing, it caught everyone's attention, and he says we want to promote a real humanitarian unified effort here. Those are all good things, but true unity, true understanding comes when there is a transformation in the heart of people. You can have external, beautiful, and incredibly scientific events, such as a rocket ship going farther than no one ever's gone before. The reality is that that's just for a period of time. It can be enjoyed by a certain amount of people. We can appreciate it. We can live vicariously through that. But the reality is that it's fleeting. You know, people will still have arguments and hatred, and God has a different perspective, and he has a different way. And today, it deals with that somewhat. Now, first of all, from outsiders to open ears, the big idea here in Mark chapter 7 is that Jesus brings mercy to humble seekers and opens what sin has closed. So what it is that when we allow God to move into our life, 100% of the time, the only way that he can do that is when we come with true humility. And so I don't know who's all there today, but my heart for you is that you will have a humble heart. I pray for myself that as I learn from the Word of God, that I will have a humble heart. A humble heart is not just saying, okay, whatever you say is right. You know, I've done that before in arguments. Oh, yeah, whatever you say is right. I'm not being humble. I just don't want conflict. No, being truly humble is when we allow God to move in our lives in such a way that we put everything of ourselves aside, and we say, God, whatever you say, I believe, I trust. Often sin makes us more arrogant. It makes us closed. And so the big idea behind these two individuals that we're going to speak about today are individuals who sin had, because we're born in a sinful nature, it had physically attacked them. They required a miracle from God. And so in a sense, that's what needs to happen in our lives. Maybe you don't have a physical ailment, but I'm going to guarantee that each one of us have spiritual ailments in our lives. We're spiritually sick. God is the only one that has the remedy. And he can remedy any issue that is in our lives. It doesn't mean that everything changes immediately, but when he starts working in our hearts, that's when things change. You know, why can people on a deathbed, you know, be praising God? Because they know that they're going to be in heaven with Jesus. That's because they have humbled themselves before God and allowed God to work in them. So as we continue, we're going to read Mark chapter 7, verses 24 to 30 to begin with. And this is a woman who's called a Syrophoenician woman. A Syrophoenician woman was from an area that's called Phoenicia, which was it was a little bit farther away. And I was reading a little bit about it, trying to kind of really get the lay of the land. And it would be an ocean village, like it would be a village by the sea. And this Syrophoenician woman, she has faith. And it tells us a little bit about her. And it tells us here that, verse 24, from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, in other words, a demonic spirit, heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him, Jesus, to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. We're going to leave it that for now. We're going to read a little bit more later. But what's interesting about this is in the Gospel of Mark that the Lord Jesus is recording that three miracles that Jesus performed as he ministered to the Gentiles in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is the only recorded instance of where Jesus goes outside of Palestine. I found that very interesting. Only time that it's recorded that he went outside of Palestine. Why did he do that? Well, if you look previously Jesus, he is, we won't get into it, but if you look in the previous chapters, Jesus is practicing what he preaches. Because he taught the disciples that there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. He had been very clear. He said, there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. So they go. Now, he was going supposedly for a rest. And this area was about 50 some odd kilometers from Capernaum. So in those days, that was a great distance. And he went there so he could have some privacy. He goes to this place and tries to get away from it all, so to speak. But this woman found out. She knew of who Jesus was. And so she had a few things against her. First of all, she was a woman. I'm not trying to be misogynistic. I'm not trying to be, she was a woman. A woman in those days did not receive the same elevation of respect that a man would. Unfortunately, in those days, it was a different time, and we know that in those days, women were often discriminated against, and so she, that was one. The other thing, she was a Gentile. She was a Syrophoenician. So her nationality, she was a Gentile. She was a non-Jewish person, and so the disciples would have said, hey, you know, we don't, you know, and Jesus is trying to rest. We don't need this. And so we see her and she, the first time she cried for help, she addressed the Lord Jesus as Son of David. And she says to him, Son of David. And, we see the Lord Jesus as he responds to her. Now, that's a Jewish title, but the next time she cried for help, she said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And so she begged of the Lord to help her. And it was then that Jesus spoke about feeding the children of Israel first and not throwing their food to the dogs or the little pet puppies. Jesus wasn't calling the Gentiles here dirty scavenger dogs, which is what many Jewish people would call Gentiles. They said Gentiles are like dogs. Jesus wasn't saying that. He was giving her hope, and she took hold of it. That's what we see here. And so as we continue, what we see is that we see the Lord Jesus entering into this Gentile territory, and he performs these two miracles. He helps this desperate mother, and he also heals a deaf man. We're going to read about him in a little bit. So these stories, they're very clear. They show us how the Lord Jesus, he welcomes outsiders and he restores broken lives. I'm going to ask you a question right now. I don't know who's there. I don't know where you're from. But I guarantee you that if you come from another country, you've immigrated to Canada, at times you have felt like an outsider. Maybe you're part of the second category here. Maybe your life has not been going the way you had wanted. Maybe already your life has been restored by a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about Parkhurst Chapel. That's wonderful. The believers receive you there. The people are kind. I know them. They're wonderful people. But it's only God that can truly restore us internally. And so I just want you to know it's a fact. Jesus welcomes all and restores broken lives. Now, when we say he welcomes all, it doesn't welcome people that they can continue in their sin. Okay, I want to make that a clear distinction because it's very important. When Jesus welcomes, he doesn't welcome people that, you know, well, I'll just continue in my sinful lifestyle. I'll just come and, you know, feel good at church. He has an expectation of change in your life. He has an expectation of change in my life. I was speaking elsewhere this morning and talking about the fact that a seminar is given at your job or in school or whatever. What is the purpose of any sort of teaching? Or it could be a TED Talk, whatever. What is it? It's so your understanding can be enlarged so that you can change and become a better salesperson, or you become a better student, or you become a brighter in business. There's lots of outcomes that are expectations. Well, when God teaches us through his word, that expectation is consistent with everything else that we live around. And so I just want to encourage you to say, and that's where humility is very important, as we talked before, to have an open heart to say, God, do whatever it is that needs to be done. Help me to recognize what's right. Help me to recognize what's wrong. And help me to adjust according to what you ask. So that's when by introduction, is what we can see. Now, Jesus, he's ministering here beyond the boundaries. He traveled to Tyre, a Gentile city that was outside Jewish territory. As I mentioned before, the first time that Jews went, or the only time that Jesus went out of Palestine, or what was known as Palestine then. So Jesus went there intentionally. God's mercy, it crosses the boundaries that people build. What were those boundaries? Those were governmental. Those were man-made boundaries that this ethnic group's going to live here. This ethnic group is going to live there. Okay. Jesus went there with the purpose to show his disciples that there was beyond. Did Jesus know? Of course. Was he there to rest? He was, but he was going there with in mind to be able to show his disciples that there was no difference between reaching the heart of a Jewish person or a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. Now, what is the application? Jesus isn't limited by your nationality, your background, or even your past failures. He goes beyond those things. And that's what we see with this woman. He doesn't say, oh, well, you're ethnically not, you know, not part of us. You're a woman, you're this, you're that. And he doesn't say that. He looks at her with love. Now, a persistent faith receives mercy. What we see in this woman, she was desperate. She was desperate. She was seeking Jesus. She fell at the feet of Jesus. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. She came with humility and desperation. Very often, when people turn to Christ, those are often two very key ingredients. And I don't know where you are at today, but sometimes we need those desperate moments. But if you don't come, if you still come with an arrogant heart, God can't do the work. She comes and she says, look, as we read, what does Jesus say? He says to her about about, you know, about feeding the dogs. The idea behind that was to help her understand, and we're going to get into that a little bit more, help her understand that it's important to come with a heart that's open, not only just desperate in a sense, but knowing that there's no other recourse. And that's what she saw. She said, I have no other recourse. You know, she couldn't, she didn't have the medication. She didn't have, you know, and sadly to say, demonic activity was very prevalent. It still is prevalent in the world today. I think a lot of mental illness has to do with demonic activity. I don't think that it's any different. So I just want to encourage you to understand that God can come in, intervene in people's lives. Now, what's the truth? The truth is that faith often begins in desperation. So it's okay to come and to say to God, I don't know what to do. I am desperate. You know, there are people that are desperate in the world today. They don't know what to do. And very often they think that more money or you know, their cosmetic surgery or, you know, a change in how people perceive you, you know. And sometimes, you know, there's good things like trying to lose weight or something like that. There's lots of good ways that we can make ourselves feel better. But the thing is that when God really can work, it's when we think that there's no, when we know that there's no other recourse. So this is what we see in this woman. Now, the tested faith or tested faith persists. So Jesus tested her faith. That was the purpose. He wanted to test her faith, yet she responded with humility. She says, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. In other words, when Jesus said this to her, let me read it again, how he speaks to her. He says to her, to the Syrophoenician woman, he says, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. In other words, she said, look, she says, I'm desperate. I, you know, even the dogs on the table eat the children's crumbs. In other words, anybody else, you know, that can be taken. I have no other way than come to you and beg for this. So humble faith receives the grace of God. Now, you and I kind of find it odd how Jesus tested her faith, and it's and we have to realize it was a colloquial way of speaking. It was in those days that's how they would speak. We would maybe present it in a different way. You know, for example, let me put it to you this way: I remember a young couple coming to a church that I was working at, and they came, and they were desperate. They said because they didn't have food for their child, and I didn't have any food on hand or anything like that. But we're really interested in God, and we're interested in Christ, and we're interested in the church, and so I said, that's great. I'll go out, and I said, I'll buy some stuff and, you know, diapers and some formula, and I'll buy, you know, baby food and some household items that you may need. Just let me know what you need. And so I did. I went out and bought it all. I said, but you have to come back on Sunday morning to get this. I said, oh, okay. You can't give it the money and we can just go and buy it. I said, no, I'm sorry. I said, come Sunday morning and come listen to the message. And we're happy to give this to you. I went out, bought everything. They never returned. So I forget what we did with the diapers. And I think we gave them to someone else that, you know, someone in the church, but they never came. I kept it kept the stuff for a couple of weeks. Didn't hear from them. Testing what they were all about. That's what Jesus was doing here. She was desperate. Now, the faith that she exercised, the faith that she put in the Lord Jesus, received the miracle. Because of her faith, Jesus healed her daughter, even from a distance. Why? How do we know that? Well, he has said, he says to her, he says, he said to her, for this statement, because you have true faith, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. The child was calm. The child was safe. The child felt loved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The child was calm. They were safe. And the influence was gone. You know, I think that's what we desire for all our children. We desire that for life with God. I think that all of us love the fact that here in Canada, there is a fair amount of calm. There is safety. And we practice that in our home. When things are chaotic, it's an awful, awful way to feel. I'm sure before with the child maybe screaming or the child being possessed, maybe being even violent, who knows what was going on. Recognizing she was at the end of her rope, she goes to Jesus. Are you going to Jesus? Are you desperate? Do you say, I need change in my life? And whatever it is, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, maybe there's something there you're saying, I need to leave it at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes certain circumstances happen and our faith is tested. And I've seen that time again, even people that who are truly Christian and following Jesus, yet when they receive just a little bit of resistance, they go, oh, forget it. Forget the church. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. You know, it's nothing to do with people. Sometimes people act wrongly, but generally speaking, it's God trying to really help you become in that heart attitude that truly he can work with and begin the changes that will transform our lives. Now, the second part is what that Jesus restores what is broken. So in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 to 37, let's read about this young man. And it tells us that when Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. There are other things that took place in that area, but this was one of them. Now, in my ESV, it says a speech impediment. In other places, it said he was deaf and mute. So I would say that would be the issue. So he was not able to hear. He was not able to speak. And so they begged him to lay his hand on him. Now, they didn't have Braille in those days. They didn't have anything that would help this individual in their life. And so often they didn't function well in society. Often they were left to be beggars because that's all they had. And often they would be considered unintelligent because they weren't able to express themselves and they wouldn't be able to express anything that they learned. So very often they were marginalized in society. And taking him aside from the crowd, he privately, the Lord Jesus, he does something unusual here. He put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. He said, don't tell him. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. So it's a wonderful miracle that takes place. The first one, the Syrophoenician woman, her daughter, demon-possessed. He speaks it and it's done. Here, he does it in a different way. He touches the man and does an unusual thing. And yet, what happens? His ears were open, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. I'm going to say this is a miracle that took place, a miracle that took place that was immediate. It wasn't, there wasn't a learning curve for him. It was immediate. And so that must have been quite something. Now, just to, so you know, this area called Decapolis, deca in Greek, in the Greek language, is the number 10. And so, that's why there were 10 villages or 10 cities in that area. And that's why it's called Decapolis. And so, so this young handicapped man, and so Jesus, he takes him away, and we see how he does it. So now, since the man was deaf, he couldn't hear what the Lord Jesus was saying. Understand this. When he comes, he probably motioned to him, come away with me. And so, the sigh, I want to suggest to you that the sigh here that we hear what the Lord Jesus does is like an inward groan. That's that would probably be the best way to describe it, an inward groan. And so it would be his compassionate response and go, the sin of this world, the way that everything has made people ill, and there are things like handicaps, is all because of the departure from the purity of God that happened way back at the Garden of Eden. And so all of a sudden, you know, there's this inward groan of seeing the way that people have to live, not necessarily because of their lives, but just because of the sinful situation on this planet. And God, in through the Lord Jesus, sighs and he says, oh my goodness, here we go. But Jesus has purpose in this. And so that's what we see. It was a prayer. And, you know, even through this pain and this sorrow, there's this prayer that Jesus speaks. Now, the same word is used in Romans 8 and 23. And let's just take a peek, the idea. It Romans 8 and 23. Let me just read that for us. Romans 8 and 23 says the following. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. What that means is that you and I, as believers, so I'm speaking to you that follow Christ here, we sometimes groan inwardly. We sigh, you know, oh my goodness, they're bombing the Middle East again. Oh, that's awful what's going on in the Ukraine. That's awful that's going on, you know, just down the street. Or and we read something in the newspaper, or we see the news on TV, and we see people that have violated another person or robbed or acted in a way that's in, and you just go, oh, Lord, how long? That's the idea behind it. And so that's what we see in the Lord Jesus, this inward pain. And then he says this word, ephphatha. Now, it's a funny word. It's an Aramaic word that means be open, be released. That's what the idea is behind that. Now, as I said, Jesus, the man didn't hear what Jesus spoke. But listen to this. The very creation of God, all of creation, heard the words of Jesus. This command by the Creator, who was involved in creation, he spoke and his tongue was loosed. His ears were opened. A beautiful miracle took place. The Bible tells us those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It gives us that perspective. As we repent of our sin, when Jesus says things, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the bread of life. All of those things are declarations. He's not just saying them as random words and they sound poetic and they sound philosophical and wow, that's really great. Jesus is not Buddha. He doesn't give you some catchy phrase, you know, and that sounds incredibly sacred. He gives us words that speak life into our lives. If you call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that Jesus will save you from your sins. If you and I, as believers, we call upon the name of the Lord, he will touch our lives in a brand new way. You know, what does the Bible say in 1 John 1? It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those are life-giving words. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he says, it is finished. He said to the thief beside him, he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said so many things that spoke life into the life of an individual. Here he spoke life into a young man who was extremely handicapped. And he says, Ephphatha, be opened. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, God can do that in your life too. Whatever's broken, he can heal. Sometimes it happens overnight. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes there's a process. I don't know God's timeline, but I know because I've experienced it. There's been brokenness in my life, things that weren't right. And God, he comes in, he says, David, you've got to fix this. And I look at the word of God and he says, this is how you can fix it, by believing and trusting. You know, I can pay a lot of money for a lot of things. And I'm not, you know, there's lots of ways that we can be looked after. But when it comes down to the bottom line, once again, we go back to that Syrophoenician woman. She was desperate. She was desperate. And sometimes that's what we need to be. And so as this young man is healed, what happened? His ears and his tongue, they function normally again. And and Jesus, he says, keep it quiet. They couldn't do that. Now, the man couldn't hear. He was deaf. He was unable to speak clearly. Others brought him to Jesus. When a person is not functioning in a proper way spiritually, what do people do? They say, why don't you come to church with me? Maybe you're invited today. Maybe someone's invited you and said, look, I can't explain it at all real easy myself, but I know at church we're going to get something that maybe helps us. I hope that that's one of you today. And I hope that we're reaching out to people. Maybe, you know, it doesn't mean that we just have to bring them to church. You can bring them to your home. You can have a Bible study with them. You can speak to them at lunch hour at work or at your school. Wherever you are, you can minister to an individual. What does it say? The spiritual meaning here is that sin makes people spiritually deaf to God. That's so true. You wonder why are people not living for God or even people that think that they're Christians? You know, it's because sin is deafening their understanding of God. Now, Jesus, when he heals personally. Jesus took the man aside, he touched him, and he looked toward heaven. So that's what Jesus does. He comes into our lives and he makes it personal. You know, this is a group of believers here gathered at Parkcrest, and it's a group of people, but each one has been personally touched by God. The ones that are that say, I'm a follower of Christ, I'm a Christian, they've been touched by God in a personal way. And so Jesus cares personally for each individual. That's the truth behind this. Now, Jesus opens what's closed. In Mark chapter 7, verse 34, he said, be open. Immediately the man could hear and speak. And so what sin closes, Jesus opens. The right response is amazement, right? The people were overwhelmed with amazement and said, he has done everything well. That's what they said about Jesus. And he says, and they proclaimed it. They were astonished, but he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Can you say that about Jesus in your life? Can you say that about what God has done in your life personally? I'm amazed at what God has done. I was brought up in a great home, but you know, my parents were followers of Christ. They were servants of God, but that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't mean anything unless I've been personally involved with the living Savior, that I've personally trusted him. And when I look on my life, as I get older, I go, it's amazing that God, in his kindness, reached my grandfather, reached my parents, and has reached myself and reached my children and my wife. It's God's work. And I'm daily amazed at the goodness of God, because we can say with these people so long ago, God has done everything well. Can you say that? If you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Christ, I invite you, myself personally, on behalf of the church at Park Christ Chapel. And we're doing it on behalf of God himself. And he gives us the privilege to invite you into his family. All you have to do is believe and trust that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried and he rose again. That's the right response. And so as we respond, we know that Jesus fulfills God's promises. When Jesus came, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to heal. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. These are the things that God says through the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life exemplified it. What's the gospel connection here? At the cross, Jesus made a way for outsiders, people who weren't, you know, didn't think they had a chance with God, to become children of God through his death and his resurrection. Spiritual ears are opened and hearts are changed. That's what often happens. I remember reading about that great hockey player, Paul Henderson. And last night on TV, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw it, was this a recap of the 72 summit series between Russia and Canada, and how Paul Henderson, he became the hero of that series, and he scored the winning goal, and to give Canada a victory, and it meant so many things. But I remember meeting Paul Henderson and reading about him and how he had, he was, how he sadly, he said, I had everything. He said, I got a great contract. I was doing well. And then he said, but I was empty inside. I'd reached the pinnacle of sports, and yet I was empty. And he came to know Christ as a Savior. He believed. He opened up his, did it change? Did he still play hockey before and after? Yes. Was he involved with lots of different things? Yes. But his spiritual ears were open. And you know what? He had a very influential, amazing Christian testimony the rest of his life. A wonderful story. Now, I didn't put the second part for our whoever's there who then speaks Chinese. I apologize. I didn't put the second part. So you can read that for a second. There you go. Now, what is our conclusion? Well, no one is too far from Jesus. No one is too broken for his healing. He still says today, be opened. He's inviting you. So the question is, are your spiritual ears open to God's voice? Are they? That Syrophoenician woman, she was desperate. This young man, he had no other recourse. Then Jesus came in and healed him. He opened up his ears, opened up his tongue and his mouth to be able to speak. And what did they do? They couldn't suppress it. You know, later on, Jesus says, he was speaking about the nation of Israel. Oh, if you would be like Tyre and Sidon, where miracles take place and people believe right away, you guys don't believe. And even to this day, there are many that don't believe. Let's not be part of that group. Let's be of those that trust, believe, and follow the Savior in the most clear and precise way. Now, as we close, I just want to encourage you to think through what God has done in your life. Are you a true follower of Jesus? Are you a true follower of Christ? Look, it's okay to admit that you need something outside of yourself. You can't work for your salvation. You can't work to get the blessings of God. He already is wishing to give them to you, but all you have to do is humble yourself before God and say, I trust, I believe. Here's this woman had faith. Here this young man, his life was changed because there was faith and trust. And God, he wants to work in us personally. May God bless his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these moments we've been together. May the light of Christ make an entrance into each one of our hearts so that we can become what you have asked us to be and invited us to be as part of the family of God. We bless your name and thank you again for the Lord Jesus. And it's in his most worthy and wonderful name we pray. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon you and give you peace both today and the days to come. Thank you for having me.